Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio Produced podcast. If you have a five-star review, leave it on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the air. One skeptic, one believer, one guest. Subscribe to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get two bonus episodes a week. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. Her special girl daddy is out now on HBO Max. It's our friend, The Stelling.
Hello. Hey. Happy to be here. One thing I should ask before we started is, am I recording on my end?
No.
Okay, just checking. All right. Anyway, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Hey, congrats on the special. How's it doing? It's been out for a bit, right?
I think it's been out for, I think it'll be 2 weeks on Thursday, and we're at 14 billion views.
Oh, pretty crazy. Oh my God, world record.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
I haven't seen it yet because it's on HBO Max and I was learning about Max, but I will see it.
You know, I shouldn't tell this. I can give you a link, but the point is.
I'd rather give you the hit.
People could go to hbomax.com and do the free trial, then remember to cancel it.
Yeah. You get seven days for the free trial.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, is it called Girl Daddy because you're a daddy who's a girl, or is it because you like daddies?
Well, it originated with my nephew. He calls my brother-in-law dad, and he was calling my sister Girl Daddy. And I liked that. And then I wrote a joke later that said, you know, I've been called a female comic so many times that if I have kids, I'm totally making them call me Girl Daddy. And so from there, I expounded upon it. And that's how the special closes. There's jokes about that.
Do you think that it's getting better for female comics? Not to label them female comics, but I don't know how else to phrase this question.
I get it. It's like I do it too. I'm not someone who's over here like constantly whining, like, I am not a female.
Right.
Obviously I am. I get why we're saying it. It's like male nurse to a lot of people. It's just, I get that it can be just a descriptor. It's not like I'm always offended, but yeah, I do think it's getting better. I mean, obviously clips come out all the time where comics are being nasty fucks, dude, comics are, and saying awful things.
But those guys are like the hacks from like fucking Ohio and shit.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you know, I'm from Ohio too, but I hear you.
Oh my God. I just pulled that out of my hat.
I love it.
No, but you pulled that out of the ether, man. You're picking up on.
Yeah.
Not offended. Love Ohio. I just think like, yes, it is getting better in the sense that in the past, when something weird would happen to me, like I use these as examples because they happened, like me in the back of a room waiting to go up and my ass getting smacked really, really hard or my hair getting pulled or something weird happening to me. Like, I think we're in a better place in the sense where a woman who's a comic like me at this time would be able to say something more, just like, and tell other people. It's not that I just took it and was like, I can't tell anyone and this is my secret forever. But it was just like,
right.
It just felt like, of course I said something at the time, but there's isn't and wasn't like an HR or anything. So it's not like I could like report it. And what am I going to do? Boycott the show that's at Fizz in Chicago? Like, that's only going to hurt me. So I'm just saying, I think it's easier in the sense that like you have more people backing you up on bad, weird behavior. And that's men and women.
Yeah.
The scene, you know.
Yeah, like, for sure. That's really the test, like, is that someone's going to step in also.
Yes,
you get one person on your side.
Yeah,
instead of like,
well, I'm also just hoping that the line between being funny as a girl and being funny in general is being blurred. Like, I just think people are funny. Like, I don't really go like, definitely, oh, she's funny for a girl, like that old thing, you know.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think too, there's just providing more opportunities. Everyone says it's so male dominated and yeah, sure it is, but there are a ton of comics that are women. It's just a matter of like giving them the chance to fail a little bit, especially on the road. Like, headliners are mostly men. If over the last 7 years, if I photographed every upcoming this month at whatever club I was at, it's mostly men, you know, it's,
yeah.
So, and that's not always the case, of course. But anyway, it's just, we got to give women headliners a chance to sort of like fail and grow their audience as well. Instead of go.
Do you tour still?
Not right now.
Well, not now, but are you a sort of active touring comedian or not?
Yeah. I mean, before the special, I toured for 3 months straight.
Do you like that?
Yeah, that's why. Sorry. Yeah. I was just laughing because how many times we tried to get you on the show before? It was like, no, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah. I was always out of town. And yeah, I mean, I think now I have a greater appreciation for it, especially because like I was so driven to get this ready. I filmed the special on March 7th and
wow. Right at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was so driven to obviously get it prepared that I was like touring intensely for 3 months. And of course, like the last 3 years since my last special. But I was writing for things in between. So that kind of like slows your progress as a stand-up, I suppose, because you're doing other things.
Yeah.
But I will say that since the pandemic happened, I took a break. And then I started doing podcasts to promote the special. And I had to like listen to old sets to A, remember what I was talking about, and B, remember what it's like to make people laugh and what comedy is. So when I was listening back, I was sort of reminded how, as cheesy as it sounds, lucky I am. And of course I worked for it, but to like travel around the country every weekend and make people laugh, I think I was just like so driven at the time that I didn't necessarily soak it in as much as I could. But it is.
I feel like I would despise, I hate traveling. I hate not being at home. It would be like a nightmare for me.
Well,
I'm also not
is.
Like a live comedian. I can't, like get on stage. I'm too self-conscious.
I think the longer you go not doing it, and especially now on this break, I'm going to be feeling similarly myself.
Well, feel free to take a break from being funny on this podcast. No one has ever called this podcast funny. So
honestly, that makes me feel good and relieved. Because at the beginning we were like kind of talking and then I was like, oh God, am I being too serious right now? Like as I was talking about like women in comedy, I'm like, oh Jesus, Beth.
It's my fault. I shouldn't have brought it up.
No, it's fine. It's like it was on your mind. So you said it. But
yeah,
like,
well,
whatever. Yes, I think things are better now. I think I made that clear, but whatever. There's still a ways to go. And like what Willie was saying, that's what we need is everybody in it together. That's what we need. Is like if you see something weird, no matter if you're a male comic or a female comic, you're like, hey, guess what? That's not cool.
I know, because the weird thing is
if we see you doing it again, we don't want you here.
Yeah, when the hard part is when somebody who gets big does bad behavior.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's like it has. I mean, like, sure,
or even big on the scene.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. Because like when I think of like, I mean, like I heard all the Louis C.K. stories, you know, and I was just like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I understand that.
And now I'm like, well, I sang something usually is enough.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like obviously a. It's a huge topic. I don't know if we can really.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm a coward ally. I'm afraid of confrontation up to a point where I consider myself an ally, but I'll never say anything because I'm such a huge coward.
I usually quietly say things, you know, like I was at the post office the other day and this lady was like way too close to someone. She didn't have a mask on and she was being like a Trump supporter about it. Uh-huh. And
she was one of those Karens.
Yeah. The person was like, you're too close to me. She's like, I'm in line. She's like, you are being mean. And I just went, yeah. I was behind her. I was like, yeah. Just so it was like, yeah. Another person agrees with this person.
I love that. I mean, look, it helped and it took a lot. I think it's easier for us, like even in like us talking like this, we know each other, whatever, we could say like, well, why don't you do this or say this? But the truth is like, as much as I want you to not be a coward ally, Wade, I get it. And because I felt it, it's like, it's hard. It's really hard. Even just in that little moment. It took, do you know how long it took me to be able to like wake up my Uber driver? who's like falling asleep while driving. How bad confrontation can be for people.
Yeah, totally.
Where you're, instead of being like, hey, are you falling asleep? Being like, like doing things right. that wouldn't upset them.
I bit my tongue.
Yes. Is there a spider back here? I think there's a spider.
Exactly.
It's I should hard. Get out. You should let me out. My tongue's bleeding. You can save that one.
Yes. So whatever, you get it. It's tough. And then not to mention, like, sometimes if you know the person, then you're totally boned. Well, that was a bad expression.
Okay. Well, let's get to the WOW scale. The WOW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question test. I'll call it a test. And it's just for our listeners to gauge, like, how seriously they should take you and your point of view. Because we have people who are Wade listeners and people who are Willie listeners, the crackpots. It's a five question scale. Are you ready to take the WOW scale?
Yes. Do I need a pen?
No.
No.
Okay.
I'll tabulate all of your answers.
Okay.
WOW scale.
Are you a Wed or are you a Willie?
First question is a 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they ever visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
You know, I think I'm erring more on the side of a bit of, as opposed to staunch belief and more hopeful and receptive, I'm going to say, yes, I believe in aliens. Yes, I believe they've visited Earth within the last 300 years.
So yes to all three.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said, it's more of like a, I know people have said this. I know there's like weird reports and there's Area 51 stuff happening. So I'm not knowledgeable, but I feel like there's enough in the ether where I'm like, well, I kind of want to believe these people that are saying it. And why is it such a secret? And I think it might be true.
Do you have any like UFO sightings or alien experiences, anything like that?
Nothing that comes to mind. I feel like potentially it's happened in the sense that when I was a kid or younger, I might have seen like, oh, maybe that was a flying saucer or something like this. It could have been my imagination, but so nothing that tangibly comes to mind or like a, yeah. Okay.
All right. Second question. Do you believe in ghosts? Thoughtful pause.
I know. It's because, yes, the answer is yes. But the reason I was so pausey about it is because to me it's like death in the sense where it's where I think I would like something more than just darkness, that we're just bugs that get squashed and are dead and gone. But it's hard to believe because it's hard to believe. So I kind of don't want them to be real because I have fears around it. But I do think they are, yes.
You mentioned being from Ohio. Were you raised religious in any way?
Methodist Christian.
Oh, really? And did that stick?
No. It didn't.
Okay.
So again, like similarly, where it's like, I've said this before, I've had Christian friends like saving themselves from marriage, and I'll say things like, no, I respect your decision. And then I totally throw them under the bus. And they're like, but it sounds like maybe you don't. So I want to say like, I respect my family and loved ones who do believe in it. And then again, I'm also like, how there's so many different gods. There's so many different religions. It's all location based. And I would like to believe that there's some sort of higher power, but I don't know.
Well, along that same train of thought, it just makes me go like, well, let's say the Christian God wasn't the real God. Mm-hmm. Then I would say like, well, it's too bad he's not doing a good job or his followers aren't strong enough to convince most of the world that It's weird.
To me, instead, it seems like what it is, which is flawed humans that fucked around with a book and some stones and made shit up. I mean, yeah. As a kid, I used to be fascinated with Native American facts and culture that we learned about. And we went and visited Sun Watch in Ohio, and we were near the, it doesn't matter. We visited, I think it was a reservation. But anyway, the point is I was really fascinated by it. And I loved the stories they told about reasoning as to why there was rain or thunder or whatever it was. And to me, obviously, that's so much of what religion is. It's trying to make sense of the world, but then these Christians, it seems as if they took it a little bit further and added a little power into it, structure, and trying to make people act and do certain things based off of what them
fear.
Male, like a man believed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, that was a lot.
Sorry, I keep smelling Play-Doh. It smells so good.
I thought you were huffing erasers, grape erasers.
Play-Doh is like,
Have you ever taken a little bite?
No.
Oh, I have.
I mean, I did when I was a kid. It's just salty.
Yeah.
Like a booger.
Exactly.
I hear.
Gross, gross. I'm going to stop you right there before you incriminate yourself further. Question number 3. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No.
Oh, okay. So you like the Native American stuff, but no Bigfoot.
Native Americans are real.
No, their beliefs. Why it rains and shit. But no Bigfoot.
Well, I'm saying like, you know, rain dances and stories behind it. I was really comparing it to like trying to make sense of the world. And I always loved their approach.
Okay. Oh. Any cryptozoological creatures?
Loch Ness.
None come to mind. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a question. Chupacabra.
Are we videotaping this or does it matter what I look like?
No, we don't release the video.
It's just Zoom.
Great news for me. Okay. I just was like, do I have to like be aware of my appearance? And it's irritating. Okay. I think I used to believe in Loch Ness stuff as a kid because more out of fear, like it scared me a little. But I would be scared if I jumped in the lake. So it's not that I don't believe it enough to get in there, splash around, and be confident about it.
Okay.
Wow, that's weird. I wouldn't swim in there.
Really?
Well, I don't like water anyways, but no way.
So I might get in there very tentatively, maybe up to the waist, and then be like, and then come back in. But that just goes to show that I don't believe in it, yet I'm not willing to get in there and splash around.
Any big body of water. I mean, have you seen the satellite images of surfers in the ocean and there's sharks just directly below them and they have no idea?
Mm-hmm. Like, fuck that. Terrifying. Is somebody's alarm going off?
Not in our places.
I just heard like, it's almost like a...
It might have been me. My mom texted me.
Okay. I was just wanted to double check that it's definitely not me. Okay. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted to make sure it wasn't me. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. Question 4. Do you believe in psychics?
Am I annoying? Because like I'm like pretty wishy-washy on this stuff, but it's just genuinely how I feel.
Everybody is. Everybody
okay.
is.
It's almost like you want to leave room for the possibility because what if it helps you? I think that's what religion is for a lot of people. I shouldn't speak for other people. But with the psychic thing, I'm trying to think. Yes, I guess. Yes.
Really?
I've had a life map reading before, which is different. It's based in Eastern culture, and I embraced it.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, life map reading. I can give you my person.
Yeah.
Life map reading?
But it's based on when you're born down to the minute. So there is some sort of
So it's like astrological in a way?
In that way, yeah, in some ways, yeah. But I've actually let it guide me, meaning like some of the things that I were told, I accepted them, enjoy them, and have let it guide me.
The funniest thing in the world would be if you were the next stand-up special that you did, let's say you had some, let's say it was a group special, which I don't think exists, but the other people were born next to you. You were born in Ohio at 11:53.
That would be wild.
Well, it'd be like that John Cusack movie where they learned that they all had the same birthday, and then they learned that they were all in one guy's head. Remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah, that was.
I was thinking Multiplicity. Interesting. That's Michael Keaton. Right?
It's the dark version of that. Yeah.
Okay.
Multiplicity is he makes clones of himself.
Yeah, but like, you know, the jokes and the ideas are all the same. Not really.
Well, no, the John Cusack thing is they're all stuck in a motel and there's a killer.
I know. What is it? Room?
It's not a comedy. I think it's called Identity.
I don't know. I haven't seen either of them.
1108 or something. Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
No, so that's a different. No, that's
do you guys believe in psychics?
I do believe, but I believe that, like Bigfoot, 99% of the people making money, like, let's say you could tap into something and then all of a sudden you're charging people and then somebody's paying you and you just can't tap into them. Like, you're still going to make something up.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Yep.
I don't believe in psychics at all.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, yeah, I have never been to one. How about I say that, which is true.
Me neither. I think so it's because I'm afraid.
I think it's because I just don't want to get scammed.
Because what if somebody told me something and it changed my life, where it was like your broken arm thing, Wade, where they were like, well, you're going to die if you eat, da-da-da. I'm like, what? I didn't hear you. Fuck, I shouldn't eat anything. And then I die from not eating anything.
Wait, did you go to one?
So, yeah, he's referencing an old story. When I was in, like, you know, sixth grade, I went to the medieval fair. Is that what it's called? Festival?
Renaissance Fair?
The Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
And there was a psychic there. And so, like, as a lark, we did it. And she was like, I keep seeing a cast on your arm. Like, I think you're going to break your arm. Like, do you skateboard? And I was like, no, not really. It was just this whole thing.
Okay.
But it's like that thing in The Matrix where, like, he knocks over the vase. And she says, don't worry about the vase, and then he knocks it over, you know? So, like, if you go to a psychic and she goes, I feel like your arm's going to break, then, like, do you live the rest of your life going, like, I need to make sure I don't break my arm? You know what I mean?
What else did she say?
I was going to say, did you end up breaking your arm or no?
I never did, no.
No, but the lucky numbers were close.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
I could still break my arm at some point, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
She got it right. Yeah, well, I said when you were 80. It's a very crucial time.
Okay, fifth question. While you feed your cat or whatever you're doing.
Picked up a drop-off.
Oh, script.
Neighbor asked me to read it.
Can I send you my scripts too? Would you read my script?
You know it, Wade. But you know I'm going to be super harsh.
That's what I want.
People come to me to get torn apart.
Fifth question. Last question. Are you superstitious?
It's almost like I need you to remind me of the superstitions. Do you know what I mean? Because if it's like step on a crack and a black cat, then the answer at this point in my life is no.
Well, you do live comedy. Is there a thing?
Kid, I said
before
cat.
You go on stage?
No. I mean, I might have like some tics here and there, you know? A stretch or a move or I don't know, but nothing I have to do in any sort of OCD fashion.
Word.
Superstitious.
Okay. I mean, you're like a one.
Okay.
So you're more of a Wade. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yes.
I say, well, yeah. Whatever.
Are you single?
Yeah, you want to get together?
Yeah, you want to date.
Over.
You
want to get together.
You want to date yourself? Is that what?
Yeah. I think Wade and
we
I
disagree on everything.
I think we look alike too. I just want to like kiss what looks like me through this wet wipe.
Willie, you think it's more of a two or what?
I'm always stretching.
I mean, she said yes, but it was always with a caveat.
That's why I stopped myself. I'm like, you're right.
I've had some story, even the ghost one, though, is like, it's like I told you, it's like I push it away. But I've had friends who have communicated with, and I believe them.
Yeah, that's always the wishy-washy part, is like when you believe someone that believes, and it's like, well, but I didn't experience it. That's, you know.
No, but two of my close friends that are married did.
What did they do? They had ghost encounters, or they believed in psychics, or what?
Yeah, it was a ghost in their office in Chicago. It was an old, what used to be factory warehouse type thing.
Man, if I had to deal with a ghost, I feel like I would do it wrong.
They did it right.
And what did they do?
He read a book. And by the way, so basically it was like, it was their business among, I don't know how many other businesses were there. I think some people lived there or whatever. It's just a big building in Chicago and their business was there. And I'm trying to think of the neighborhood it was in, kind of near Humboldt. And so there's this one bathroom on their floor. They had to leave their little office to walk down the hall to the bathroom. And people just all agreed that they hated going in there. They didn't like it. It was creepy. And sometimes they heard things. And one of those things was like a voice saying help.
Oh gosh.
And so then Katie and Aaron are my friends that are married, asked the cleaning crew about it. And they're like, yeah, we hate cleaning that bathroom because we always hear the voice. And so finally, Aaron reads a book about how to communicate and like help ghosts and get them out or whatever. So he reads this book and decides to like talk to the person and basically say, tell them it's the year 2019.
What's the deal, mate? What's your deal? What you doing there?
In an Australian accent,
that's the key.
Yeah. You basically, he let them know what year it was, if they could help and how. And it was like someone asking for help because their son like hurt himself working in the factory and they were coming there to get them. And he said, this is not a factory anymore. It's 2020, blah, blah, blah. If I can help you, I will. And he said, but I don't know if he said, but I need you to leave. But he said, you know, it's time for you to go. And
wow, can tell a ghost the year.
And
funny, man. What yeah, you doing here? Like,
Woody, move
the
on.
The ghost is like, I should be social distancing.
and I guess he was sort of overcome with emotion. And then they did not hear the person anymore.
Did the cleaning crew then start going like, oh, this bathroom's cool?
They were like, we love it in here. Can we rent it?
The bathroom was much cleaner.
It's the cleanest bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
They spent more time in there cleaning. Less poop on the walls.
Yeah.
All right. Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Venus. Could there be life on Venus? Are there structures on Venus that prove intelligent life is there? Could Carl Sagan have been right when he suggested that there could be life in the atmosphere? All that tonight, more on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay, I've not heard of this. So just like the moon, just like Mars, people have their theories about Venus.
Well, Venus is a weird thing because the Cold War happened and Russia beat us into space. They were fucking cosmonauti.
Yeah, but USA number one to the moon, baby.
They beat us into space where, though? I forget.
Just into space.
Sputnik, right?
Yeah.
Just in general.
Sputnik. And they sent a lot of animals up there, too. And there's a conspiracy that the first woman in space was Russian, and there's audio of her dying in space, which I've listened to, you know, like
no,
like just didn't work out. Yeah. So anyways, they found out we were going to Mars. We're sending probes to Mars, you know.
Okay.
So they sent probes to Venus.
Oh, so you're flashing forward to almost currently.
No, no. This, I mean, they're going to do that again. They are sending new ones currently, but.
Well, but we jumped from the 60s to when? When?
No, no. In the 60s, we sent, you know, like they found out we were sending probes to Mars, right? I mean, like that was our plan.
That's real?
Let me find out. Well, I mean, this thing, let's see.
I don't care. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I just thought maybe you were talking about more current shit. I don't need an actual year.
Oh, well, in 1961, the Venera launched. And it failed, and basically they had 16 Venera missions. That's the comparable, well, whatever. They kept calling them Venera. They got to Venus in 1982.
But what's a probe?
Well, I mean, basically it's a satellite. You send a satellite that has camera capability, and they send the pictures back, and then that thing basically just gets lost in space or gets, like, they sent one that landed on Venus, took a picture, and then it died because the gravity, the atmosphere is basically acid, sulfuric acid. So
it smells like a big fart.
Yeah, it smells like a big fart, and it's like being like a kilometer underwater, which no fucking American knows what a kilometer is.
No,
what is a kilometer? Is it half a mile? No, it's somewhere.
It's more, isn't it?
Yeah,
is it more or less? I don't even know. Is it more?
Look, I remember having to convert it. It's 3,280 feet.
60 kilometers.
Oh, so it's more.
60,
yeah.
60 miles per hour so it's like is 100 kilometers.
Yeah.
I think it's less. Okay. Because, well, I don't, anyways, so anyways.
It's 0.6 miles.
Oh, great.
Wait, right?
That sounds right.
Okay.
That's about right, yeah.
So, let's see. They landed in the 70s, but they had probes out there. They had all kinds of stuff. And here's the thing. Because of the Cold War, everything they had was very secret. They kept all the secrets from us. And so this whole thing is spawned from, there was a Russian scientist who was analyzing the pictures from the probe that landed on Venus. And he was like,
am I allowed to look up photos?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Venus, that's where women are from, right?
Yeah, exactly. This isn't about Mars tonight, Wade, so why don't you just fuck up?
That's why it smells like farts there.
Yeah, right?
It's because we're holding them in on Earth. Okay, let me retake that again. It's because we're holding them in on Earth.
One more, a little lower. Okay.
Wait, smile when you sang it too.
It's because we're holding them in on Earth.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
So it's funny because 30 years after the photo, there's this scientist that's like, I can't do that great of a Russian accent. Looks like this is a scorpion in the picture.
Scorpion? that was the best Russian accent I've ever heard.
Scorpion.
It's
scorpion.
You gotta think of Malkovich in Rounders.
Scorpion.
Looks like a scorpion in picture.
So yeah, I know, right? Like if I hear it, I can do it for a while.
I lost my contact lens tragically on Daytona Beach. Tragically lost.
Jerry, did you see this picture? It looks like scorpion.
Give that man his money.
Okay, it looks like lava to me.
Right. I mean, like it is that hot. It is. It will melt you.
No wonder
Venus like rotates backwards. There's a couple of funny things about Venus than all the other planets in the solar system. It's hotter than Mercury. Mercury's way closer. Probably because it spins backwards. So like this, it's probably, whatever. I fucking don't know what I'm talking about.
Seems like you do.
Oh, well, since it's going backwards, it sees more light.
The centrifugal force is doubled.
So, but you know, this guy's like, oh, looks like there's something moving in this thing. And it looks like a scorpion in the picture. Cause like when they took the picture, there was like, you know, motion, whatever.
Okay.
So the debunking of that is the lens camera popped off and that was the indentation of the lens camera in the dirt. Anyways, whatever. I'm just throwing that out there. Cause it's like, who cares?
That was in the olden days that he said scorpion stuff.
No. This was 30 years after 82. So I mean, it's just funny to me because whenever any Russian scientist says anything.
30 years after 82. So now I've got to do like the conversion again.
2012, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 2012.
Mm-hmm. So in 2012, the scientist is like, looks like a scorpion. And everyone's like, no, you fucking idiot. It's a lens cap.
He's like, okay, sorry. I just thought I'd put myself out there.
Well, yeah, but
I'm sorry for saying some shit.
My defense is, hey, man, also, this is a scientist analyzing a photo that you're looking at an internet image of. Like, you don't need to throw him under the bus so hard either.
Yeah, let him try.
Just yeah, you guys aren't saying anything. I'm sorry that I said something.
Yeah, when was the last time you tried to freaking
fine,
analyze a photo?
Fine.
Put yourself out there next time.
Yeah, and not just you, not, you know, you're too busy analyzing pictures of your penis.
It's pretty I'm easy to say no.
Photos of
me. You say no to someone else's shit.
I was just thinking of a Russian dick pic, and I was like, how come I've never heard of that? And I'm like, oh, because a dick pic is a dick pic. So at any rate, I mean, like, obviously, everybody can tell you that.
I mean, a Russian dick pic, it's like beating up another dick.
Yeah. Well, there's a knife in the background. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's uncircumcised and
small. Holding a bottle of vodka.
Yeah. Small, but like really with a lot of fight.
Well, you could say texture.
Yeah. Right? So, maybe it's. You think with all the vodka, that would be hard for it to stay standing.
The cold weather helps. Well, I don't know. I guess you'd have to get it hard and then get it cold.
And freeze it.
Yeah, freeze all the blood in there.
Whoa. If you had a boner and then you froze to death, I guess you'd just have a rock hard boner?
That's why cavemen have huge dicks, because they just had boners every time they died.
I always want, like, there's no way. Well, whatever. I guess it could freeze. Jeez.
Had a boner, yeah, you'd have to maintain erection while you froze to death. So you'd have to almost have like a bit of a kink for the frozen foreplay.
Ice cubes and stuff. It takes seconds. Anyways, or it could. So there's these science. So there's that, right? Like that's one. That, we're going to go down three different paths. One of them is
Russian cock rings are like made out of ice.
Frozen pineapple rings that you just stack up.
They freeze the blood and then keep it in the dick. I'm sorry. What about this?
Wait, have you guys seen
Venus?
Have you guys seen a way that you can get a pineapple open?
Well,
where you twist off, you take a full pineapple, you twist off the top, right?
Okay.
And then you pound it on the ground a couple times, and then you roll it sideways, and then every little spiky chunk you can pull out as a bite.
These all sound like sexual euphemisms.
Love that.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm just blown away. I just saw that today.
No, there's no way that's true. You can't twist off a pineapple. That's like twisting off an apple. How would you do that?
Yeah, I guess the top, if you can grab all that foliage, you can just twist it off.
Yeah. The green part.
Yeah.
About it. When you roll an orange, it loosens its skin and you can peel it off.
So they bounce it a couple times on its base and then rotate it on its side, like massage roll it. And then all the chunks peel out. I was like, what, dude? Listen, when pandemic is over, you can be a star of the next party. Everyone's going to be like, why the fuck did you bring a pineapple, dude? Are you going to cut that up?
I'm going to use a knife to knock off the top of the champagne and then not use the knife to cut the pineapple. Roll it. And everybody will be like, use the knife. I'm like, no, watch.
No.
The knife is for the champagne.
Exactly.
No, no, no. I don't know what you did with your pandemic
champagne
times.
Champagne opens itself. I'd rather cut it.
I'd rather cut. I just want to show you I can cut glass, okay? So Venus is 880 degrees Fahrenheit. So no wonder we can't land.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of the things burn up real quick, you know. But the thing is like we've proven on Earth that things can exist. They call them extremophiles, but things can exist in extreme conditions where we didn't think life would be possible. And so, listen, I'm going to go away from that one storyline of they looked at pictures and saw something weird on there.
Okay.
One other storyline is there are a lot of people that are looking at the equivalent of Google Earth, which is it Google even? Is it Google Venus? Whatever. They have maps of Venus. And people have been analyzing the ground, and the ground has got like weird structures. And, you know, in this realm, I know people are trying to get attention because who's fucking talking about Venus and whatever. Nobody's even looking at it. But there are weird anomalies on Venus. There are really tall towers that are stacked up in a line. There's weird towers. There's weird circular.
Is it like different than like the pyramids that they normally see, like on Mars?
Yeah, totally different. These to me would be skyscraper versions of pyramids.
People are saying things like these are incredible structures on Venus.
Yeah, and when people see things weird, they're like, oh, this must be made by intelligent life, and especially the Venus is still active and volcanically, and so
and Tennisley,
yes, right. It was this last year she was
still
up
around
for
yes,
but I got it late, but I got it.
Well, this whole time I've been singing that. I know this is not Venus, but
I'm your Venus. Yeah.
I'm your papa. Okay.
And
wait,
can we
take a quick break, or in the interest of time, are we not breaking?
Do you have to poop?
I have to get more drinks.
I'll go to take a pee.
Get more drink.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We're talking to Beth Stelling about structures on Venus.
Willy Bad Movies presents The Time Traveler.
Hey, mister, are you from the future?
Yeah, I got a lot of things to let you guys in on. The information that I have could save you all if you'd only listen. I've been here before.
This isn't his first time here.
I've been here before.
And it won't be his last.
You never listen. You never listen to me. I'm trying to save you, dumbass!
Grandpa from the future.
Whose grandpa are you?
I'm everybody's grandpa.
Grandpa from the future. This is not his first time. Grandpa from the future.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're here talking to Beth Stelling. Her special Girl Daddy is out now on HBO Max. We're talking about structures on Venus. Willie, what are the theories on these structures? Is it an old dead life form or what?
Well, I mean, my thing is, from everything that I've seen,
mm-hmm.
I feel like if we saw structure based on these, because the images that you get back for this Venus website, you know, that maps Venus, like if there was intelligent structures on there, I don't know. I personally don't know if we would recognize them as intelligent structures.
Yeah, they're doing their own thing. If anything, right now, the above, what do we call that again? The above shot, aerial view, looks like...
bird's eye view?
Bird's eye view, yeah, aerial view. It looks like, I don't know, like a bear that was in the movie Coraline or something.
I mean, my take is if you are
a bear, a bear that was in the movie Coraline.
Yeah, it looks like. I mean, I'm making that up. Like there.
You're
was
talking
a
about
bear.
That those volcanic round. Are you looking at images?
I'm looking at crown-like structures on Venus, and it's like a little. It's like a weird pig or a bear with a little.
So those hat. Are. So the idea behind those are. They say that the volcanic activity underneath the ground like bubbles up and the temperature is so weird that the bubble creates almost a caldera of some sort, or like the volcano doesn't work the same way it does here because it's hotter and it cools quicker. I don't know.
Mm.
So those are those. But they have really tall skyscraper things too. But my thing is like if you look at intelligent life and you look at how warring of a species we are, and we happen to also call ourselves intelligent. I'm just like, if you were alive on a planet, I think the best thing to do is to try to hide and pretend like you don't live there so that nothing comes along and sees you.
Yeah.
And
like troops do in the desert.
Yeah. And like every predatory animal does too, because they're like, well, even if they're at the top of the food chain, they may not know that they are. So they're hiding. They hide from humans.
So do you think they're ahead of us and they're like, oh, fuck, these Earth people are going to like come and kill us if they can?
I don't know because, okay, like the guy that made the Integratron, he basically said that some Venetians, some people from Venus landed on his airstrip and gave him plans for a time machine. And he built it.
Yeah, but that guy's a... Yeah, he's an idiot.
And he might be, but the thing is the thing that he built was like fucking cool.
Beth, do you know about the Integratron?
No, but it's like, wouldn't we if it worked?
What?
Yeah, wouldn't we if it worked?
Like, wouldn't I have heard about it if it worked?
Well, not if people didn't know how to get back and they just left, or. Because that guy supposedly is missing.
Well, that's a question. Would you
it looks
go through
like Griffith Park?
Would you go through a time travel machine if there was a question of that you couldn't get back?
I mean, up until now, my answer is yes. But now I'm like,
now you've got a family and stuff. What if you could take your family?
Oh yeah. Because like honestly. I could survive out in the wilderness better than Trump days, right?
But yeah, I mean, I guess I'm saying like I felt like to say yes to that. It was a little sad almost.
Cards, right? Because so, like, what if you went to a parallel universe where a certain baseball player didn't exist, and then you had the most valuable card? Then you bought a house.
But what if you just went to 2050 and there was no civilization anymore?
I know. Wow. Man. I know. Burned out. What if there was civilization, but they all had tattoos, so they knew they all were covered in tattoos, so they knew that you weren't from there? How's that possible? You're a criminal.
I love how your brain works.
And
you bring a baseball card. And you sell it because, like, you know, nobody else has that guy. And then you buy a house. I was over here, like, would I get in the time machine? Like, you have to be almost, like, in a sad, dark place to do that. Like, knowing that you might not come back. Like, you don't have much to come back to.
And yeah, that's why I would totally do it.
Considered it. Like, I was like, but I would miss my family. I think if it was guaranteed not death but not guaranteed return, I'm going to go ahead and say no.
What if you could go to Venus? What if they invited you to Venus to partake in a galactic exchange program where it's like, hey, live with us for 5 years and we'll learn from you. You can learn from us.
I would need terms. I blindly sign contracts all the time in this industry and on my computer, but I would need terms. Like, I get there and they're like, so you have to carry 14 children while you're here. And he's like,
yeah. It's like, well, you could be pregnant the whole time.
I don't even get to have fun. He's like, oh, no, our pregnancies are only 3 days. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, then totally. What if, like, this was Willie's lie, the podcast, and he just came on here to, like, talk shit or do – and whenever his wife came in the kitchen, he had to be like, Venus. It's like, you know, Venus is weird. And just – we're talking about Venus today and not about other stuff at all.
I always laugh because you know, for every movie where someone was getting – like, there was a homeless person that was getting signals from the future – and they didn't know what they were or whatever. I'm just like, no, wouldn't you like have some front of like a bad podcast? Well, so I don't know. I don't really, I haven't seen anything in the structure realm that makes me go like, oh yeah. I mean, I don't believe one way or the other. I lean towards them not being intelligent structures. I will say that, the most compelling thing to me is this idea of panspermia, right? Where we've talked about it recently, where if there's life on one planet, a meteor hits our planet and it sends stuff onto a rock onto the other planet. So like we can tell from when we gather meteorites, what planet they were from based on the makeup of the meteorite. It might not even be from a planet, but if it's from one of our planets, we're like, oh yeah, this is mostly cobalt, so this is the moon or whatever, you know. So one idea is that there are a lot of things on Earth that can survive in space. Tardigrades, people talk about mushrooms and even mushroom, well, I talk about them, mushrooms and mushroom spores can survive in space. And so there's a chance that we have sent life over to Venus in the past. And so the biggest thing that scientists used to look at Venus was they used to describe it like a lava lamp. Where it was like the cloud layer changes so much that like this isn't, I don't know, Carl Sagan in 1967 suggested that the clouds could support alien life and that there could be some equivalent of some kind of algae that lived in their clouds. And so
what, the clouds of Venus?
Yeah.
That, like, how do you live in a cloud?
Well, but the only, like, we always just compare everything on our planet and go like, oh, that couldn't sulfuric acid, but.
Right. It's all we know.
Yeah. There could be a lot of things.
There could be some cats that Russia sent up, some hot cats.
Right. Or they sent a cat in one of the probes and the cat died, but the cat's butt was filled with bacteria that all got out and turned into algae. I mean, that's the thing is like a lot, there are people that think that there could be algae and things living in the clouds and on the surface. And, you know, I think that is just as big a shocker to intelligent life being there, because to suggest that algae lives on Venus is to suggest that intelligent life, which came from algae, can also exist everywhere. It's just as shocking as finding a guy walking around on Venus. To the establishment of our belief system, I think. To idiots that are afraid.
Yeah.
But then you're talking about what was Darwin famous for?
Evolution.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Like going
then turtles? You're talking about evolution, right? Like the cat butt bacteria lives in the clouds, and then they would have to evolve into something that could live on Venus, right? So this is like a thousand year in the future sort of like theory.
Well, but we could have, meteorites that hit Earth could have sent rocks with life and algae on them to Venus and they could have survived. So we may have accidentally sent life to Venus, not us, but Earth. And I subscribe to that like Earth has sent living material to other planets. Whether it whether it survived or not is another thing, but it could survive.
And so these structures, are you saying that they, like, what's your take on these structures? Because you already said, like, you don't think they're from intelligent life.
I think that for every scientist that'll tell you how things are, there's a million things they don't know. And so I think the structures are anomalous, but like, I think that geometry exists in nature, and things can make geometric, smart-looking things all over.
This is like kind of a first for this podcast, where you just think that they're anomalies. Normally, that's my point of view. Like the structures on Mars, the moon structures. But now you're just you're. So then, so if that's your take, what is Venus? You know, like what do we? Is there anything more to it?
Well, Russia's going back there.
They are.
I mean, the thing is now that we're enemies again.
It depends on who you ask.
You know, I mean, but like, let's say we found life on Mars. I feel like there's a part of me that says we didn't tell the world because we didn't want Russia to know that exists.
That we didn't tell them what?
That we decided that telling the world that life existed on Mars was a better kept secret so that our enemies didn't know. That's the mindset of everybody in charge. That it's like, it's not necessarily about religions freaking out. It's about having the upper edge on your enemies. And so let's say we found a past civilization on Mars, like the pyramids are real, the face is real. Why tell anybody? We got to go investigate that shit and figure out what their special weapons were. Because NASA's more run by military than anybody else. They fund everything that they do. So I'm just saying that, like, if we find life somewhere, it's a big secret in case it's a one-up on the enemy. And that enemy could be even a space alien, you know, that they treat everything as an enemy so that you got to keep these secrets. We can't just tell everyone.
Right.
I just don't know how you weaponize that information, you know? Like, how does that like help you against your enemies to know that there's life on Mars?
Well, what if, that's what I'm saying, what if it was an ancient civilization and they had a special they had a power that was comparable to atomic energy, and we figured, we saw that they killed their own planet. Well, we got to figure out what that power is so that we have that weapon. So it's a preemptive weaponizing where it's like, well, if they can figure something out, we better figure it out first.
Do you think that if we did find an ancient weapon on a different planet, that we would then start making sure our own planet's okay? Or would we just race to get that weapon and kill each other? Because, like, I think that, like, the existence of alien lives would sort of be a unifying thing for most of the civilization of Earth, right? It'd be like, well, shit, I might be a Republican and you might be a Democrat, but we got to get these aliens.
I see it as a unifying thing, but the unifying thing kind of takes down a healthy competition for everybody making money on Earth. I mean, I know that it could fund it, but I think stupidly they'd be like, well, why? If we all found out that aliens were real, like, would you still buy Tide? Would that matter to you? Because, like, you could buy the cheap brand now because there's aliens.
I mean, I've always bought the cheap brand. I don't know.
I'm like, I see where
why go to work? Why would you ever need to go back to work when there's a community that exists in the universe that you can just go join? Why do you have to do your job? Fucking
because they can't get there or survive.
But I think the mentality that scares me is the anarchy that comes from. Let's say that a couple races of aliens came to Earth,
mm-hmm.
that came from different parts of the universe, and they just showed up and like, hey, we're here. It would make me go, oh, I'm never going to pay taxes again, because I could just go talk to these guys and see what they're doing. And
maybe that's why all the guys who.
And I'm like, I don't need to pay taxes.
And that's why all the guys who got abducted by aliens stopped paying their taxes.
That's what they don't want you to know. So they came up with all this alien probe stuff. They
put them away forever.
I'll tell you right now, if aliens show up, I'll 100% be the scumbag from Die Hard, and I'll sell out humanity in a heartbeat. I hate humanity. I don't care about any of this shit. I'll side up with the aliens. Yeah, you want to kill all of humanity? That's fine. Just
I'll tell you
just
how to do it.
With you.
These are their sweet spots, right here and here.
Slit their throats.
They're like, oh, thank you for letting us know. We were just going to cut those things out of their mouths.
No, listen, like, stop me now. When aliens show up, you should probably come kill me, or I'm going to, like, sell.
the first order of business is stop, Wade.
I'll be going through my baseball card. I'm like, oh, fuck, man, this is going to be worth something.
I was getting ready
you
to wanna
get humans? I can give them to you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I think it's more like I was just in, did a drive to Bryce Canyon and Zion National Park. And it's like, to me, you look at those types of structures and think, wow, this was, you know, and sometimes some places like in Utah, the bottom of an ocean at one point.
Yeah.
And so you think that that's what the earth can do. And as you're looking at Arches Amphitheater, you're thinking, that looks like a little hole, and I wonder if people lived in there, and that looks like they could, you know, amongst all these, not similar structures to what's on Venus, but you're thinking like, oh, I could see somebody living in there. I wonder if in the old days, X, Y, or Z, and it's like, no, how would they get in there? And so I think it's just like, I'm looking at these, and I'm thinking, the Earth made those. Not the Earth, yeah. I'm sorry. I meant to say, the planet made those.
I agree with that, but I'm also like, let's say we... that early humans were getting attacked by aliens. I think that would make them move underground, right? Mm-hmm. If there was alien abduction stories on the reg before modern times, I think you wouldn't make your house look like a house anymore. And so when they found that underground city that could hold like 50,000 people, I was like, oh, to me that it makes more sense that they were hiding from aliens than they decided to move underground. Mm-hmm. Not that those are the only two options.
Mm-hmm. But I see what you mean.
I'm just afraid and trying not to be.
Of aliens coming?
I'm not as afraid anymore, but I'm definitely afraid of the people in charge, like not making decisions that are...
See, that's why you got to join my team and just like go to the aliens and be like, oh, listen, we can beat them easily.
Yeah. Hey, man, here's the codes. Save me.
Here's the code to my Amazon lockbox in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Here's all my passwords. You can learn about humanity by going to everything and watching it. Right? Don't you think that an alien could learn everything from just watching all of our TV? The answer is no, but it's funny to picture an alien. You know, it's like Short Circuit where you learned everything from watching TV and reading books. Like, I don't think you can learn how to be a human from all that.
No. I love how I was yawning at first and now Wade is. The student becomes the teacher. Wait, no, that doesn't make any sense. The host becomes the guest.
Do you do a lot of stand-up shows on Zoom or
Mars?
Internet? Or
I've been doing them strictly on Venus for those residents of the structures.
Is it like, is this service worse than Sprint?
I'm not doing Zoom shows. I did one as a fundraiser for the Sklar Bros.
Yeah.
And it was like fun because they're nice and you could hear, it was like a private fundraiser and everybody's mics were on so I could hear them laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
you know,
the thing.
As I was like, trying, it was like,
you can't hear anything in your kitchen. Like shit. Mm. I guess that didn't work.
Might as well be talking to yourself. Yeah. I think I'm
going to are the Sklar Brothers in trouble that they had to have a fundraiser for themselves?
for their children's school.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know.
Still seems a little weird. Support our children's school.
Yeah, with your stand-up comedy.
You guys are millionaires. You can support your children's school.
What was I going to say? I did do an outdoor show for the first time. So the first time since performing really for a crowd since my special was on Saturday. It was all outside and social distance and all that. And it's still hard to say whether that's good or bad. I mean, they checked everybody's temperature. It was all quote unquote safe. It's just, it's weird. I don't know. I don't want to be harmful. And anyway, so I did an outdoor show. I think I'm done. I'm good. I kind of said everything I need to say in the special.
Oh, you're done with comedy? This is it?
Yeah, this is the last.
Watch the special twice.
Yeah, watch it twice. Make sure you get everything and then send me a letter.
I mean, it's a weird time to try to come up with new material because every day is the exact same thing. Like, we have no interactions with anyone else. So it's weird to think of shit that's funny. You
know? Yeah, it's also weird to just navigate how to do it next. I mean, people are doing drive-ins. I just earlier got a offer to go do a drive-in.
Wow. And
it's not that I'm against it. People will be in their cars and everything. It's just, I don't know. I don't want to do
it. Honk if you think this is funny.
Honk me, baby.
Dude, that's pretty funny. If you go to a drive-in show and you say, all right, I can't hear you laughing, so just honk every time you laugh.
That's what's happening.
And the whole time people are just honking at you.
That's what's happening. And they're basically saying, like, who was it? Whitney put on, like, a safe show in her backyard, and Annie Letterman was saying, I have to retrain my brain that honking is good and not bad.
Oh, yeah. Weird. That's funny. Because then in traffic, when people honk, he's like, yeah, me too.
Exactly.
Wait, that's an actual thing? People are honking when they think something's funny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's ridiculous, man. I'm out of here. Put me in that time travel machine. This is so stupid.
I'm going to help the aliens too now, Wade.
Yeah. Join the Wade brigade. We'll fucking take down humanity together. All right, Willie, anything left for Venus talk?
No, I always say no, and then I say stuff. It's interesting that Russia's going back to Venus soon and that we're continuing to go to Mars. You know, when it comes to people like an astronaut and a cosmonaut, like when they're in space, they're not going to be enemies of the, you know, they're not going to be enemies, you know, they're just all workers. Everyone's a worker. So we need to kill the people that are making us enemies, right? We need to kill our leaders. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden there's a knock at all of our doors at the same time. Like, FBI, open up. I'm like, I promise I'm just friends with them. I don't believe it.
FBI. Wait, how did you say that? How did you say that?
Well, Beth, thanks so much for being here. Do you have anything? We've got your special lady boner, girl daddy.
Yes, big dick energy.
Girl daddy, HBO Max.
It was produced by the Wade Brigade.
Yeah, I'm coming out of the closet as a anti-authoritarian. I produce comedy specials now. But you've got podcasts. You want to plug into your podcast?
Oh yeah! If anybody wants to come over to my sweet ass wholesome podcast that I do with my mom, it's called We Called Your Mom, and that's my mom so cool. And I call my comedian friends and artists' mothers. It has nothing to do with them other than the fact that we talk about how they raised them and stuff like that.
What was the best thing that ever happened on that podcast?
That's tough to say. There's an unreleased episode coming about Will Forte's mom, Patty, bringing friends to the set of MacGruber and their reaction.
Oh, dude.
Was it to the celery in the butt scene?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, MacGruber's one of the most, it's one of the funniest SNL movies ever. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very underappreciated.
Oh, 100%. He's brilliant.
I don't think you even have to qualify it with SNL movies. I think it's just one of the funniest
movies. I agree.
Fuck, man.
Top of the line SNL movie, but just also top of the line movie in general. Yeah.
Straight up great movie. Well, Beth, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, good to see you.
Of course.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Remember to go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes a week. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening.